Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with producer Rosemary Brandt. We welcome you, Rose and myself, to the Buckmaster Show on this Monday, September 29th, 2014. We are live here on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. We stream the show at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com, and we podcast and have all of our shows available for you to listen on your schedule anytime, anywhere in the world, really, at buckmastershow.com. We'll get things rolling with the Monday Political Face-Off, followed by our candidate interview series, which we're very proud. Between now and Election Day, we will have heard from about 30, 35 candidates for state and federal office right here on the Buckmaster Show. Today it's Michelle Reagan, Republican candidate for Arizona Secretary of State. And then following Michelle, we'll close out the show with Republican District 3, Congressional District 3 hopeful Gabriela Salcedo Mercer will be with us. The Buckmaster Show live line is 790-2040, and our Facebook page is very easy to find. If you know my name, you can find us on Facebook under Bill Buckmaster. Our Monday Political Face-Off with me today, John Munger, Tucson attorney, former chair of the Arizona Board of Regents, 2010 Republican candidate for Arizona governor, and attorney Vince Robigo, longtime Democrat Party activist, former Arizona attorney general candidate. The Monday Political Face-Off is sponsored by our friends at Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Moe's since 1985 at the corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The family specializes in custom frame mirrors. I have them in my home myself. Believe me, they are fantastic. Art for your walls, I have that as well from Moe's. Moe's also does all my picture framing, and they do come out and they'll do the hanging and give you everything you need for some great service. You can find them at moesgallery.com and on Facebook. John and Vince, how was the weekend?
Oh, great weekend again in Tucson, Bill.
Wonderful.
Weather's great.
Yeah, it's just right on cue. The monsoon season technically ends October 1st, and sure enough, the rains are over.
Yep.
It's going to start to dry out.
It is.
The month of October is one of the great months in Tucson, too.
It really is. The warm days and then the cool nights, and I get back to my outdoor walking schedule with those cool mornings.
That's right. That's right. And we missed a big storm there that had up in Phoenix, and part of Sky Harbor,
yeah,
because of the damage and a lot of storm damage all over. So we were lucky in that regard.
Last night, the two gubernatorial hopefuls, Doug Ducey and Fred Duvall, had a debate, and the debate was about education. Mr. Duvall says that the Supreme Court has ruled, so Arizona, Vince, should stop fighting the public schools and immediately give more than $300 million the court has said are owed them. Mr. Duvall would rather wait and fight this out in the court.
Mr. Ducey would.
Excuse me. Mr. Ducey. Thank you, John. Your reaction to that, Vince?
Well, yes. The Court of Appeals, I believe it was the Court of Appeals. It might still be.
I think it was
Superior Court.
Oh, was it?
Yes,
okay.
Superior Court, not Supreme Court. Has made a ruling that essentially the Arizona legislature, the government, has been depriving our children of educational funds that were required by a state initiative that voters passed. And the immediate payment due, in other words, here's what to do right now for, yeah, this payment, is about $317 million.
Mm-hmm.
And then the bigger hammer yet to fall is the fact that they've been depriving our children of educational funds for years now. And that is, you know, the court's going to be ruling on this sort of what's owed in the back payments that were not paid. That was about $1.3 billion,
mm-hmm,
of deprivation of funds to our school children. And so this is a big issue in the campaign where the two candidates have split.
Yeah,
Mr. Duvall says that he would accept, I guess there's an offer from the folks that filed this lawsuit that said if the state came up and paid this $317 million now, they would drop any request for that $1.3 billion.
Really?
So, yeah. So that's a huge, both a potential savings for the state,
mm-hmm,
if the court rules against them on that issue, whether or not they have to immediately start paying on back payments on that, but also gives funding as is needed, as been ordered by the court. And so Mr. Ducey said last night, and he's been saying this, is that he would continue the fight to the appeals. And Mr. Duvall, Fred Duvall, says we need to fund our children. The court has ruled.
And he would take the money from the rainy day fund.
Correct. Yeah. He would take the money from the rainy day fund or whatever funds are there.
Here come the Democrats.
John's going to say, here come the Democrats, but here's the issue. When the courts have ruled that we are illegally underfunding our children's school, they want to blame it like it's just Democrats wanting to spend money when they don't want to accept responsibility for the fact that the GOP legislature under the Republican governor for years have been stiffing our children and our schools.
Oh, that's his baloney. Right.
It's not baloney. We got a court.
John says, here come the Democrats.
Well, number one, this is a ruling of a superior court judge. And the case needs to go through to the Court of Appeals and then to the state Supreme Court. There are some major, major constitutional issues on this that need to be dealt with in the various appeals courts. The case is not close at all to being over, and it's way too early to make a deal. Number two, the problem is what the Dems forget is that because of all of these initiatives and referenda that the people pass, the legislature has been left with control of about 30% of our budget. And most of that budget is now educational spending. So the problem is we have, first we were left at the beginning of the recession with horrible deficit. We have brought that back to where, after 5 or 6 years now, where we have finally got the state on a balanced budget. We have put some money together for rainy day fund, which is to be for a rainy day, not just to spend. And the problem is Fred Duvall is saying, well, let's just spend the rainy day fund. And Ducey is saying, well, let's think about this, because if you're where is that going to come from? We don't have that much money in the budget to do that kind of thing and keep the state on a sound fiscal basis. And we need to go through the process of seeing what the Court of Appeals and the Arizona Supreme Court says before we wildly go off and spend $321 million. So
you're saying it's just prudent to wait at this point.
It's prudent to wait, and moreover, we don't have the money.
Okay, Vince, we don't have the money.
You know, the problem with that analysis is that during this entire time period, while the state not only underfunded by not paying what was owed, but cut education, the reality is this is a self-defeating proposition where they keep fighting. They're fighting literally for the privilege to underfund our children. And businesses don't want to come to a state where we do not prepare a workforce and support our educational system. So during this entire time period, during the last years while Governor Brewer has been at the helm, the legislature has not only been doing these sorts of cuts to education, but yet has helped fund their corporate cronies, whether they be private prisons.
That is so much boring.
They were willing to fund 5,000 new private prison beds, for example. Mm-hmm. And then it turned out that wasn't even needed. And at the end, they had to withdraw that request. This was about 2 years ago.
John,
so they were more than willing to spend money on their corporate cronies to fund their private prison buddies, but they're not willing to fund our children's education. They're making those kinds of value choices in the legislature to give tax breaks to corporations to fund their private prisons, but not pay for education.
Let's talk about
those are the facts.
Let's talk about value decisions. For every dollar that the educational system, K through 12, has, they only get 58%, 58 cents of every dollar into the classroom. That is way, way below national standards. They are doing all kinds of programs. The administrations in these school districts are out of control. They spend money on all kinds of programs. They are not getting the money into the classrooms. And that's problem number one. That is a value decision made by the school districts and the education lobby itself to fund non-classroom activity. And that's just a fact. That's from the state auditor general. And that's way below national standards, which go as high as up to 72% of the money getting into the classrooms. Now, Fred Duvall has said, well, I have two red lines. One, I won't raise any taxes. And two, I'm going to fund education. Well, the problem is you can't do that. The numbers don't work out. He's spinning. You can't.
You're saying there's no money to do what he wants to do.
There is no money.
But Vince says there is.
There is money.
He wants to spend the rainy day fund.
Well, absolutely. If our kids are in danger with this failure to fund for years and years, you don't call that a rainy day in education?
They aren't.
Good Lord, that's the problem.
They aren't in danger, Vince, if they're only getting 58 cents of the dollar into the classroom.
Vince, go ahead with your statement.
Let me address his issue of the 58%. Both. John Hoopenthal and Tom Horn, when they were superintendents of public instruction, have acknowledged that there are fixed costs when talking about this 58% that we're getting into the classroom. And those additional costs are likely, and you can look it up, John Hoopenthal himself, who just got ousted in the Republican primary, said that there's probably a great likelihood that there's these additional fixed costs, like buses, like air conditioning in Phoenix and all over the state during the summer for these students, fixed costs that school districts have no control over. The second aspect of why certain monies are not getting into the costs, the other things about that are not getting into account here are the school counseling, libraries. There are other costs that are out there that these audits do not account for, and they've recounted for this.
Here's the final nail in the coffin
is that Doug Ducey wants to repeal the income tax. So if you want to talk about how our state is funded and basically wipe out any budget whatsoever, that is spin on unrealistic
all
budgeting.
Right. 12:17 on the Buckmaster Show, Vince Robigo and John Munger obviously strongly disagree on this topic. We will continue with the Monday Political Face-Off. That's why we call it the Face-Off. We'll be right back. Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Viro Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Viro Amore on the web at viroamore.com.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cunada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
Devereaux, Arizona inspires hope in the lives of the most vulnerable members of our community, our children. In Pima County, there are more than 4,000 children in foster care that need your help. Devereaux, Arizona's foster care program gives you the training and support you need to make a difference in the life of a child. Donate, volunteer, or become a foster parent. Find out how at devereauxarizona.org or call 520-296-5551.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Widened and improved roads, new bike lanes, sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bus pullouts. Many of these safety improvements are funded by the Regional Transportation Authority through its 20-year plan, which is making a difference in our lives.
Hi, I'm Lori. I live near the Twin Peaks Interchange. Since that new interchange and road opened, life has become a whole lot simpler. The new road saves me time, and it's a beautiful drive. I love it.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit rtamobility.com or Facebook. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Tucson Desert Art Museum, Tucson's newest art museum, is home to one of the premier collections of pre-1940s Navajo and Hopi textiles, exquisite classic and contemporary paintings and photography, early maps and historic artifacts. Visualize history through art at Tucson Desert Art Museum on East Tankerverde Road at Sabino Canyon Road, just west of Udall Park, and on the web at TucsonDart.com. That's TucsonDart.com.
Welcome back to the Monday Political Face-Off presented by our friends Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Moe's for all of your, well, fine framing and whatever. The name says it all. Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com, and also they have a presence, an active presence on Facebook. John Munger is here and Vince Robigo, and Vince was, before the break, was talking about that Doug Ducey actually wants to, if possible, phase out the state income tax. And I think Vince's point was that by doing that, that's even going to be less money for education.
Well, that's just not right. What Doug Ducey is talking about is a revenue neutral program, mm-hmm. Where we lower the income tax. He wants to get it as near zero as he can. He understands it probably can't be at zero. But we're competing with states like Texas and Florida and Tennessee that have no income tax.
And Nevada.
Mm-hmm. And we've got to create a system where we can compete tax-wise. There are other forms of taxes that we can do, such as sales taxes and other things, where we can maintain revenue neutrality. So that's just a red herring that he's going to eliminate the tax. Anything he does is going to be revenue neutral. The key here is that the education lobby is wildly trying to get money, and there hasn't been any money in the past. We were left, as you recall, when Janet Napolitano left, with a $1.3 billion budget deficit per year. And it's taken us 5 or 6 years to get back to fixing that when the legislature only controls 30% of the budget. And because we keep passing all of these initiatives that take away the power of the legislature. And incidentally, that is, for your listeners, that's the issue, one of the issues that need to be heard at the courts. And that is, the legislature, by law, by constitution, is supposed to be in charge of the budget. But with all of these initiatives, we've taken away the power of the budget, mm-hmm. from the legislature. And we believe that that is unconstitutional.
Okay, here's Vince.
Okay, as far as these budgets and the budget cuts, what listeners need to realize and voters need to realize is that since 1992, there have been approximately 42 tax cuts to the general revenue funds that come into the state of Arizona. We are talking about at least $1.5, if not more, billion dollars of tax cuts. I believe the number actually may be up to 3.5. I'd have to check, so I don't. But the issue is we're talking in the billions of dollars of tax cuts. And what you see here is you see this continued quest to cut taxes with an unrealistic claim that this is somehow going to make us the most competitive state ever. Right now, our unemployment, our job unemployment ratio, we still lag points behind the national average. Yet if this claim was true, that all of these continued philosophical tax cuts over more than 20 years are going to somehow make us the best, most prosperous place in the nation, it hasn't worked. The GOP strategy in this state has not worked despite these cuts. Look where we are lagging. Look where we are in terms of education. Look where we are in terms of infrastructure. And so when we're talking about things like the budget, I heard Doug Ducey last night. I watched the debate. And I heard Doug Ducey say, look, we're going to get some savings because we're just not going to hire people that are retiring coming up. You know, I worked in state government for many years until 4 years ago when I went into the private sector. I started off in the private sector and then worked about almost 17 years for the government as a prosecutor, then stepped down 4 years ago after politics, and I've been in the private sector since. But what one thing that they do not realize is that the government here in the state of Arizona, you look at CPS, look at these other agencies, they are starved to the bone by virtue of these various cuts.
Okay.
And they keep destroying the very entity that is reflective of what we stand for in the state of Arizona. Well, and that's what they want to keep doing. That's what Doug Ducey's going to do.
Well, let me approach that on a couple of issues.
Okay, real quickly.
If your listeners really believe that there's not fat in the state government, try dealing with the bureaucracies. I tell you, I deal with them every day. They don't work as hard as private enterprise in many cases. Sometimes they do. They are paid more than private enterprise in many cases. And there is fat in the state government. And if you don't believe there's fat in the state government, I suggest that you're missing the boat. So the Democratic program is don't cut any expenses. Just raise taxes. And yet Fred Duvall has said, well, I'm not going to raise taxes. Even Fred Duvall says you can't raise taxes. Okay. So now we're competing with these other states that are killing us in the tax competition with all of these businesses that Vince wants to get here. But we don't compete. So we need a new mixture of taxes. And in between times, we need to play out this educational issue, get the issues tried, and the school districts need to get their percentage of dollars going in, going into the classroom way up.
Let me address the last point
first.
And
then real quickly, because we had a caller who wants you gentlemen to weigh in on Prop 122, yes or no on that. But go ahead, Vince.
Well, like for example, like what was mentioned last night in the debate, you know, there's a study that just came out that shows that Arizona has the lowest administrative educational costs in the country.
Okay.
So this claim that, oh, we got to have more going in, the reality is they're not taking into account for other things. As far as what he's talking about, this fat, it is not there, and the opposite is happening. If you look at private prisons, when we sued them because the state had not checked whether or not they were actually being as efficient as a public prison, over 20 years, the state has refused to evaluate whether or not they were as efficient as a public sector prison. And you know what the legislature did after I sued them?
What?
They got rid of the law so that they never have evaluated the private prisons. They don't know if they're spending good money after bad. That's the kind of system that the GOP cronyism gets you.
1 minute, and a caller asked if you gentlemen would weigh in on Prop 122, one of three where Arizona would opt out of federal programs. Vince, yes or no?
I'm not sure. I think this is the proposition that says that basically we don't have to follow federal law.
Yes, yes.
It's unconstitutional.
Okay.
But the reality is you can't pass a state law that says federal law is never binding on the state.
John, on the surface, what do you think?
I'm not familiar with that proposition.
Okay. It's one of only three on the ballot.
If it says that we don't have to follow federal law, I think that is unconstitutional. If it says, on the other hand, that we should be opting out of more programs where we have the right to opt out, There's something to be said for that.
Okay, guys, thank you very much. John and Vince, thanks.
Thank you. Have a
thank
good day.
You.
All right, the Monday Political Face-Off, sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com and on Facebook. We are going to be continuing on here after our mid-break on the Buckmaster Show, where we continue on with our candidate interview series. Up to the plate after the break, it will be State Senator Michelle Reagan, who is running against the Democrat Terry Goddard for Arizona Secretary of State. That's next on the Buckmaster Show.
SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Police in Hong Kong are softening their tactics against pro-democracy demonstrators. This after their use of tear gas brought tens of thousands of additional people to the streets in an unprecedented show of civil disobedience. The Syrian foreign minister is now saying that his government is satisfied with those U.S.-led bombing campaigns against the Islamic State group, a situation in which Damascus is aligned with Western and Arab opponents fighting the same enemy. A grand jury has begun deciding whether there should be criminal charges in the case of an unarmed man who died after being put into a chokehold by police in New York City. On Wall Street, stocks are lower, but they're off their lows for the day. The Dow's down about 22 points, and NASDAQ is 2 points in the red. More details at srnnews.com.
Are you participating in the 2014 El Tour de Tucson, presented by Casino del Sol Resort? Well, head on over to Silver City, New Mexico on October the 4th for the 4th annual Desert Springs Physical Therapy Gila Monster Grand Fondo. It's the perfect tune-up for El Tour at 103 miles with over 9,000 feet of climbing. Once finished, participants can visit the Little Toad Brewery and Distillery in downtown Silver City for a discounted meal and a drawing for a stay at the Southwest Inn at Sedona. More information is at tourofthegila.com. That's tourofthegila.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Jerry!
What's wrong?
The client conference call is right now.
I thought it was next week.
I don't have the presentation ready.
Okay. Blame the internet. Say it went out.
They'll never believe that. They know we have Cox Business. Our internet is too reliable and is 100 times faster than basic DSL.
Say customer service is closed.
Cox Business has 24/7 support.
Well, say it would take too long to get a technician here.
No, they know the award-winning customer service is local. They told us to get Cox Business.
The call has started.
Good morning.
I forgot about this meeting. We have terrific internet.
Get Cox Business Internet and voice for only $99 per month. Speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL. Plus, get your first month free. Visit coxbusiness.com and switch today. Ends 1/4/15. Price excludes taxes, fees, and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Visit coxbusiness.com for internet speed options and details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Hi, I'm Steve Christie. I've served as an RTA board member since 2009 and through last year as its chairman. The RTA continues to be a most successful regional effort, with the RTA and our member jurisdictions completing so far more than 540 construction projects to reduce congestion, increase our safety, and improve crosstown mobility. As part of the original Citizens Advisory Committee, I'm proud of our citizen-driven plan as well as the RTA's accomplishments. We deliver, we promise. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico make a great getaway for a weekend or longer. It's just 3 hours or so from Tucson and 15 degrees cooler to get to an area with so much to offer, from hiking, camping, exploring downtown historic Silver City, or just relaxing in a lovely environment. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete list of great places to stay and visit in Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico. Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, our Monday edition, as we push toward 12:35 on this lovely Monday afternoon in Tucson, Arizona. Between now and Election Day, we're very proud of the fact that we'll be interviewing probably 30, maybe 35 candidates for state and federal office right here on the Buckmaster Show. All the major players will be joining us. Michelle Reagan was first elected to the Arizona legislature in 2002, and she had transitioned to the state Senate in 2010. Michelle is running for Arizona Secretary of State as a Republican, facing off against the Democrat Terry Goddard. Michelle, good to see you. Thanks for being with us, Senator.
Well, thank you for having me.
What do you see as the key issue in this Secretary of State's race?
We've got a lot of issues in the Secretary of State's race, but I think the biggest one is going to be really getting in there and making sure that our election system is running as smooth and as clean and as free from fraud as possible. And we have some big issues.
Mr. Goddard has said, and it's on his campaign signs and when he visited with us here on the show, that as far as he's concerned, there is really one major issue, and that we must do something about the so-called dark money.
And that is correct. It is a very big issue that we're seeing all over the country, this influence of anonymous, unknown entities coming into a state, any state, and trying to tell people how to vote on an issue or on a candidate, and nobody knows who they are. And they can currently do that in our state. It needs to be stopped. It's only getting worse. For example, Bill, just in my primary, my little Secretary of State Republican primary.
Yeah, you had three. There was a three-way.
There was a three-way primary,
yeah.
Correct?
Okay.
$750,000 were thrown into my race against me or for one of my opponents. $750,000. Now, traditionally, in every other Secretary of State race in Arizona prior to this, these have been about $75,000, $80,000 races. $750,000 in the primary. So this is getting out of control. And that's a really sad and scary part, and I think that citizens should be outraged, and we know they are, is that we will never know who spent that money. They were able to spend it. It's not disclosed.
Under the radar screen.
And
yeah, we don't know who it is.
No, we don't know, and we'll never know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think disclosure, and I think that people have the right to spend in campaigns if they choose. That is their money, and that is their right. But I also think that they need to disclose what they are spending and who they are spending on. If they want to come and attack me, that is certainly their right, but they need to put their name on it.
How do we get more people involved? Our voter, the numbers, the percentage, it really is disgraceful. Not only Arizona, but really the United States. We don't vote like other places. We saw that referendum in Scotland. It was like 87% of the people came out to vote. As Secretary of State, what would you do to try to get more people to the polls and to vote?
Well, in this past primary, we only saw 27% of the electorate come out and vote in the primaries. And what we're also seeing is the rise in the number of independent voters. As you know, over one-third of the registered voters are now independent, which means that they're saying that they don't want to be part of any party. And we need to respect that, and we also need to make sure that we are reaching out to them and making sure that they're voting. One of the things that I want to push from day one as Secretary of State is making sure that they don't have to take those extra steps to vote in the primaries, which they are already allowed to do under state law. But we force them to take extra steps. For instance, they can get a permanent early ballot, but then they have to take that extra step and say which one. There's no reason that they can't say, I'm Bill Buckmaster, I'm an independent voter, and I want to be on the permanent early voting list and get a Republican ballot each and every time until I say differently. Those kind of measures will increase voter turnout dramatically, especially when we're talking about one-third of our state. Another thing that I would disagree with my opponent when he says that the only thing that is important when it comes to elections is tackling dark money. That is important, but it is not the only thing. We have a huge problem, and you're seeing it down here in Pima County, and that is this ballot harvesting, where individuals go door to door. Sometimes the candidate themselves go door to door and collect people's ballots. There is no other state in the country that allows a candidate or a political operative to go door to door, collect people's ballots, and walk into a polling place on election day and turn in hundreds, if not thousands, of ballots.
Like a bushel of ballots.
A basket of ballots, a trunk loads of ballots. We've heard reports of literally a car pulling up to a polling place or a county elections office on election day, and the trunk popping open, and laundry baskets of ballots being carried in. This activity is legal in the state of Arizona. It is laughable in 49 other states. When I talk to secretaries of states from other states or their election officials, and I tell them that that is allowed in Arizona, they look at me like I'm kidding. They laugh, and they say, "What?" And, you know, I tried to close that loophole in our law, and that is being attacked by some folks as a move of voter suppression, that I was trying to limit voices. Nothing is further from the truth. The fact is that we want people to vote. We want to get the vote out, but we also want to create a system that's as free from fraud as possible. And, Bill, I would have a problem if you walked into a polling place with 1,000 ballots. But you can do that now under the current system.
Like you say, it is legal.
I would say, what are you doing with all those ballots, Bill?
Michelle Reagan is with us, Republican candidate for Secretary of State. What else is, Michelle, on your agenda here? You want to quickly give us a couple other issues you're very concerned about in the remaining minute or so?
Yeah, well, you know, there's also a big component of the Secretary of State's office that has to do with business filings. It's not very sexy to the average person, but it is a 365-day job up in the Secretary of State's office, and it's out of date, and it needs to be fixed and cleaned up. Businesses, the first thing they do when they come to town in Arizona, one of the first stops they make is the Secretary of State's office. And we need to throw that big welcome mat out and make sure that we do everything we can to make sure they're successful once
like
they come
to
our
state. Like, I'm a small businessman. I formed an LLC. It had to go through the
Absolutely.
Arizona Secretary of State's office. It would have been nice to be a little more welcoming to Bill Buckmaster Communications.
And a lot of that stuff.
Getting into the business for the first time, owning my own business. And I'm not alone. People want to feel more welcome when they do business in Arizona.
And a lot of those things that you have to go to the Secretary of State's office to do should be able to be done online. And these are the things that, having 12 years of experience at the legislature and walking the halls of the Capitol, I've already identified many areas in this office that I want to go in and fix and can be working on within the first 100 days. This is a job I am completely passionate about wanting to do for you.
Why did you want to do this job? I mean, you have had a very successful career in the state legislature. Why? What was it about it that resonated with you?
Well, I have been waiting for this position to open up. The experiences I've had at the legislature, I was the chair of the Commerce Committee when I was in the House. I was the chair for 6 years. And then when I transitioned over to the Senate, I became the chair of the Elections Committee. And when you look at the day-in, day-out role of Secretary of State, it is twofold. It is business activities, like you just mentioned, and it is overseeing the state's election system. And then what have I done the last 12 years at your state capitol? I've been the chair of the Commerce Committee and working on economic issues, and I've been the chair of the Elections Committee working on election issues. That is the exact role of the Secretary of State. So I always like to say I actually want to do the job of Secretary of State.
A caller, Michelle, wanted to know some of your thoughts on closing of Tucson's postal office. This is really, I don't know if you've heard about this, but our postal service now, all of our mail from Tucson has to go to Phoenix. There is no more Tucson postmark. We're the biggest city in the United States without that service.
You know, I did hear a little bit about that when I was down here last week, and I was...
People are not happy
about
it.
I bet they weren't. I heard some... I was with the Southern Arizona Home Builders and meeting with them, and...
Yeah, we had the head of the SABA here on our show Friday.
Okay, yeah. And that was just... it was a topic of discussion and something that I'm following. And that's one thing that I think is very important, Bill. Whoever wins these statewide offices, they can't forget about all the other counties in the state and what is happening. It's not always about Maricopa County. You can't just sit up in the Capitol and pretend that that's the only county. Very important.
That is especially true here in Tucson. We sometimes feel we are the second city when we believe we're number one. But anyway, Michelle, thank you very much. Where can people find out more? Would you send them to your website?
Yes, our website is very easy to remember, votereagan.com. So Reagan, R-E-A-G-A-N.
Just like the former president.
Just like the former president.
Okay, Michelle, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Ah, it's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours. But no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2-hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Everyone is invited to tour Veterinary Specialty Center Tucson during its all-day 10th anniversary celebration Saturday, October 4th. There will be something for everyone, including live action in the surgery department and doctor dress-up for the kids. Plus, your tour pass doubles as a raffle ticket with a chance to win great prizes. Veterinary Specialty Center Tucson at North La Cañada Drive and West River Road, home of Specialty Vets for Special Pets. The Rug Gallery's extensive collection of new and antique rugs has earned an international reputation and has been featured on the cover of Christie's magazine, as well as many of the world's most respected carpet and textile publications. The Rug Gallery thanks Tucson for their support over the past 27 years as the place to see fine Persian and top quality imported and antique rugs at competitive, affordable prices. With its huge selection of hand-woven rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. The Rug Gallery is located in the Jostler Center at the northwest corner of River and Campbell and on the web at ruggalleryaz.com. Also, look for us on Facebook. Call 571-RUGS. That's 571-7847.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This portion of the Buckmaster Show is brought to you by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. They have a very big event coming up for all of you cycling enthusiasts. It is the Tour of the Gila for like Gila River. It's a huge bike race coming up on October 4th, so that certainly would be worth a trip over to Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, just a three-hour drive east of Tucson. And there are wonderful places to stay and things to do, places to stay like Spirit Canyon Lodge. You can find out more about Silver City and Grant County by going to their great website, southwestnewmexico.org, and tell them that Bill Buckmaster sent you. We continue now with our campaign interviews, meeting as many of the candidates for state and federal office as possible before the election, which is coming up very quickly. Republican Gabriela Sauceda Mercer, who became a U.S. citizen in 1991. She worked with a defense electronics firm before leaving that firm to raise her children. This is her second run for the congressional seat, which has been held for years by Congressman Raul Grijalva in the 3rd United States Representative District of Congress. Gabrielle, how are you?
I'm good, Bill. Thank you for the opportunity to reach out to your listeners.
Well, thank you for coming on the program. I read with interest yesterday in the Arizona Daily Star, you had a little bit of, you and your opponent had kind of a op-ed deal going on immigration. And you said that, in your opinion, our immigration policy is not necessarily so much broken, it's not being enforced.
That's exactly what I'm trying to point out. How can we say that the immigration system or the process is broken when we don't even enforce the laws that are already written, that are federal laws? That, you know, we already had a comprehensive immigration reform back in 1986, and it was good for a couple of years in enforcing the laws. You know, when we went after employers that employed people with no papers. And when you don't enforce the laws, of course it's going to be, something is going to break.
Would you like to see more legal immigration into this country?
Absolutely. And I think I wrote something there that I am pro-legal immigration. We are a country of immigrants, but we have a process. When you overwhelm the system by allowing illegal immigration to just come at will and take into our jobs and our medical system, is not working. It's costing us American people jobs, and that's not good for the people. I mean, we still have tremendous unemployment, especially in District 3. In Yuma alone, which is part of the district, we have 31% unemployment.
I think that's the highest in the state.
It is crazy.
Yeah, so you're talking nearly one out of three people are not working
In Nogales is 17% unemployment. Well,
so what can be done to really improve the economic situation in District 3?
Well, first of all, you need to let the government, take the government out of the way so the free enterprise can be competitive. I mean, government does not create jobs. Government creates bureaucracies. And when you have the government putting all this red tape and impeding businesses to flourish, nobody wins. The government needs to get out of the way.
As a congresswoman, you would be charged with not only domestic issues, but of course international affairs when it comes to dealing with the Islamic militants. Would it, in your opinion, will it take actually putting, as they say, boots on the ground to really to wipe out these particular people that are causing all these problems?
It is going to take more than boots in the ground. It is going to take a blanket bombing of all these people that are in, you know, I keep hearing the politicians say, we're not at war with Islam. Well, they are at war with us. So where are we going to draw the line? We need to stop these people. We understand, you know, or at least some of us understand that they, when they say we are coming to kill you, they mean it. I mean, now it's happening in here in our own soil. And they want to call it they don't want to call it terrorism. It is terrorism. They call it job-related, oh my goodness, I can't think of the word.
So it's the Islamic militants, you're saying you need to go after them in whatever it takes.
Absolutely.
Is that what you're
absolutely
saying?
And if we are going to commit to going to any of those areas where they have taken control, we need to change the rules of engagement. If we are going to decimate them, by golly, let's go and get them all.
Okay, let's go to Dan on the Buckmaster Show live line. He has a question for Ms. Mercer. Go ahead, Dan.
Thank you. Boy, is she a breath of fresh air. Do you think that our congressman now, Raul Grijalva, in his quest to stop people from investing or visiting Arizona, has hurt the 3rd District or helped it?
Oh, my goodness. It was that boycott. It was a horrible thing. And it took him a year to finally realize that it was a mistake. It cost the state of Arizona 27,000 jobs. And most of the jobs, the people that were affected were the people that work in the service industry. The very people that, you know, it didn't affect the Smiths or the Johnsons or the Cunninghams. It affected the Martinez, the Lopez, the all the people that he's supposed to be representing, especially in this district.
That was what really got you going in your first run, wasn't it? Wasn't that the thing that was the...
Well, when I ran the first time, the boycott had already passed like a couple of years. And when I reminded him last election cycle about the boycott, he says, you keep beating a dead horse. Well, you know, it's not dead. The horse is still kicking and people are still suffering because of that boycott. It really hurt the state of Arizona and especially the people in CD3.
Did you want to meet with Mr. Grijalva face-to-face in a debate?
Yes, but he has declined a couple already.
Mm-hmm.
I'm ready.
So we've talked a little bit about immigration, foreign affairs, the economy. What else is on your agenda?
I need help. My campaign is a grassroots campaign. Mm-hmm. I'm not getting a lot of support from the big money people, which, you know, in a way is good because I'm not going to be beholden to anybody. All my contributions to my campaign are coming from we the people.
And they're like $5 and $10 contributions.
Yes, and
them, right?
$50 and $100, and I appreciate it. The small denominations are greatly appreciated.
But that's not going to buy you TV time. I mean, you need
some bigger
money.
We're working on
it. Yeah, so you're working on a TV ad?
At least in the Spanish media.
In Spanish media. So getting back to that high unemployment rate, when you go over, and this is a pretty big district, as you say, it goes over to Yuma. What are the people saying? What is the main problem? Why they're having so few people working over there?
Well.
What do they tell you?
Well, they said, you know, when we don't have an education that allows people to, you know, to go further, and so the communities can have the brain power to offer to employers, companies are not going to come to do business with us. And that's the main thing. That's one of the biggest things. You know, people say, well, yeah, there's a lot of call centers in our area, but call centers are not paying enough, and only certain people work in those areas. Same thing with fast food places, and you know, people pushing for this $15 an hour
minimum wage
is not going to work. It just doesn't work in the free market economy.
Where can people find out more about you? Go to your website.
Salcedo
Mercer.
Actually, I have an easier one. It's GabbyForCongress.com, G-A-B-B-Y, the number 4, Congress.com.
Okay. Gabby, good to see you. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Bill.
All right. Appreciate it. Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show is provided by our friends at Culligan. Thank you, Culligan. Better water, pure and simple. Culligan for all your business and year-round residential water needs. Culligan supplies all of our in-studio guests with a nice chilled bottle of their particular product, which is an outstanding one. Coming up this afternoon, our local talk continues for Tucson at 4 with Mike Shaw. Then it's the Wake Up Tucson Show, 6 to 8. And the Daily Double, Christy Simone from 8 to 9, and then Rosemary Brandt, our ace producer, and myself, Bill Buckmaster, will be back with you for our Tuesday edition, getting underway at 12:04 tomorrow. Until then, have a great afternoon and evening.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.